Welcome back to Head Games Radio. Sorry for any disconnect there. We are joined by Seth Joyner and Solomon Wilcox. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing great.
How are you doing, man?
You know, we're talking about the ability of quarterbacks to make good decisions, but part of the problem often is that they're given too much. Too much overcoaching, too many things on the wrist. Jim Kelly talked about it on Monday. Here's Ron Jaworski from yesterday's show.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the volume now that the quarterbacks and the offenses FP personnel have to understand and learn is absolutely amazing. If you see the coaches on the side now, the play callers, you know, they used to be a kind of an index card. Then it grew to an 8x11 sheet. Now it's like a 2x3 game plan, color-coded, every situation that you could imagine in the course of a game, and they're calling plays. You now have the quarterbacks with the wristband, you know, that covers up their entire wrist to their elbow with plays on them. And then besides that, you now have the high-tech Motorola sound system where the coaches can talk to the quarterback in the huddle before he goes to the line of scrimmage. I mean, you talk about, you know, an overload of information. My God, they're making it very difficult to play the position.
So let's first start with Seth. You know, with a young quarterback like a Matt Leinart, maybe the coaches want to have the chance to sort of overcoach and to sort of be their teddy bear in their helmet. But overall, in the long term, that damages the ability to separate out the haves, those quarterbacks that can think for themselves, make their own decisions on the field, and those that can't.
Well, I think it's a matter of, you know, knowing your quarterback and knowing what he can handle and what he can't handle. You know, maybe with a young quarterback, you know, you want to make sure that he has whatever limited information, you know, might be in the game plan for him. The game has just become so specialized that in some ways, you know, it's necessary because coaches don't want to feel like, you know, they ever left anything on the table, that they were always prepared for every situation and every opportunity that presented itself. But in a lot of ways, you know, I think sometimes it can be overkill. You know, the game is still simple. You know, they're going to line up in the coverage. If the quarterback understands what the coverage is, then he should understand where the weaknesses and where the strengths are and how they're trying to attack it and make it as simple as you possibly can. You still got to throw the ball, catch the ball, run the ball, tackle, and all those types of things. And, you know, to me, the game is simple in those terms.
Hey, Seth, we're going to call you back because we don't have the best connection, so hang up for a second. We'll call you right back so we can hear the mellifluous tones of your voice. And as we do that, Solomon, let's talk about the fact that, as Jim Kelly said, he was looking at Ben Roethlisberger going to the line of scrimmage on Sunday, looking down at his row right there on his wrist of all these different plays. He's not reading the defense. He's not focused on what he really needs to be.
Well, I think a lot of what you're seeing in the National Football League is something where I think you got to ask yourself this question. How much control do the coaches want the quarterback to have over the ability to run the offense? You tell me, of all the 32 teams, how many of those coaches are willing to give away control and say, okay, quarterback, you go out and you run the offense? They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. In fact, the control is resting over on the sideline with the coaches making the decisions. That's why they've given them this new technology of a headset. And I always want you to know that we teach our kids, we even try to teach parents, if they're at a little league game or if they're at the kid's high school game, don't try to yell out instruction to your kid while they're playing, because there's no way a kid or a player, even in the National Football League, can go out and execute a game plan while the coaches are yelling in their ear, are instructing them as they go along. So if it don't work in Little League, it doesn't work in high school, we know it doesn't work in the NFL, but yet we allow the coaches to continue to bark out instruction every step of the way for these quarterbacks. I think it limits a lot of what they can do. I agree with Seth. You got to find a way to at least simplify it for the quarterback and give him one, two, maybe three options and say, go out and run the play. Go out and make it happen. Now, you can only simplify it so far before you have an offense that's archaic and won't work, so you have to find, I think, a happy medium and a happy balance to allow that quarterback to go out there and put his talents on the line where you can see that rising to the surface more than you're going to have him out there thinking and then guessing and taking a step backwards as opposed to putting his best foot forward.
Well, we talked to Marv Levy yesterday about the advantages of that no huddle and bringing out those things, the ability of the, and not every quarterback has it, but here's Jim Kelly talking about how much is in the ear of that quarterback.
Nowadays, they get too much going into their ear, too many things being taught to them, and they have so much to think about that they're worried about messing up instead of just going out there, reading, seeing what they see, and if they think they need to get out of the play, get out of the play, but simplify it to a certain point, because I know that, you know, with Buffalo Bills, with the amount of plays on the wristbands, I talked to Roethlisberger, I see all the plays that are on his wrist, too, and even I think I watched the other day when he was up at the line of scrimmage, almost under the center, and he's looking at his wristband. I mean, you're supposed to be looking at the defense. What are you looking at your wristband for? So, I don't know. There's, you know, you always look at a guy like Brett Favre, and, of course, I admire what Peyton Manning has done the last few years and the type of quarterback he's become, probably one of the best. And I'm sure by the time he's done with this whole thing, he'll be one of the best ever to play the game because he gets out of plays when he has to. He's almost like a coach on the field, and I'm sure that the other two gentlemen will agree with that, that when you're a quarterback, you should know the ins and outs of everything that's going on anyways and not have to have worry about somebody sending plays down into your ear every single play.
Guys, let's talk about Rex Grossman and what he demonstrated at such an early stage of his career, a big game, to reestablish the dominance of the Bears. Let's first start with Seth. And what did you see in Rex Grossman and what he was able to demonstrate? Getting hit early, people were beginning to whisper that he was a different quarterback like most quarterbacks are after they've been hit really hard early and often.
Well, I mean, he's going through the process that's necessary, you know, to become a good quarterback. A young quarterback who hasn't started much, you know, you're going to see him, it's going to be a roller coaster ride. You know, there are going to be some games where he plays extremely well, and then there's going to be some games where you kind of scratch your head and wonder, you know, what happened. But until he gets an opportunity to see all the coverages and see all the disguises, all the line shifts, all the different things that a defense can do, you know, he's going to be up and down. But I think any quarterback's best friend is a good running game. See, because I think when they're running the ball efficiently, then play action comes into play, and play action is a quarterback's best friend as far as slowing down the pass rush, because, you know, the defense has to honor the fact that you're getting anywhere from 3 to 5 yards a pop. So any kind of fake, they've got to honor that. And then all of a sudden, you know, by the time they realize what's really going on, he's already set and he's ready, you know, to throw the ball down the field. I think the times where he struggled this year is when they haven't run the ball efficiently, or they've gotten behind in the game and he's had to manage the game purely from a passing standpoint. You give me a rookie quarterback under that situation, and I guarantee you a defense will eat his lunch any and every day of the week.
Now, as we turn to the Giants, who had so many injuries on the defensive line, you can't discount the importance of that as well, can you, Solomon?
No, you can't. And, you know, he also had some injuries on his offensive line, losing. Eli Manning did his left tackle and Luke Pettigrew. So there were some struggles there offensively. But, you know, the Giants did get out to an early lead in that ball game, and they also had the assistance of a running game. I think Tiki Barber in that game against the Bears had 141 yards rushing. So Eli Manning had the assistance of the running game. Just made some poor decisions with the ball. I mean, those things are going to happen. And going back over to the other side, though, when you talk about Rex Grossman, I like people criticizing for doing some of the things that he's doing. I like the fact that Lovie Smith allows this kid to go out and play with the kind of fearlessness that's going to allow him to grow. You could tell he's playing with a great deal of freedom given to him by his coaches, given to him by even the teammates. Even when he makes a mistake, the teammates don't get down on him because they know there's going to be a learning curve. They know that he's still growing. And the fact that he's allowed to go out and make those kind of mistakes, knowing that he's not going to get yanked, not going to get chewed out by his teammates and his coaches, I think it lessens the learning curve. This is a guy who's going to be playing, I think, at the top of his game more consistently, much sooner than some other quarterbacks who have to look over their shoulder from week to week.
And it probably helps a little bit that Chicago team and that Chicago defense that had to play with a quarterback that was basically a non-factor last year, they know what an improvement they have in front of them if they give him that sense of support. Here's Marv Levy talking about simplifying making sure that, you know, it's not really necessarily the bigger playbook that's going to make you win.
I know Sam well from my days at the Washington Redskins, and he once again said something which I think is very astute. I agree. Simplify, and you will do better. I think coaches are carried away with, look at how big my playbook is. Teach what players can learn. Very important.
That's Marv Levy. When we come back with Solomon Wilcots and Seth Joyner, we're going to make our picks about which teams are positioned the best. There will be a lot of surprises to come in this season. We're going to talk about which teams are positioned the best for that big run. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.